chapter 36. Starting at verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have, and which you have profaned among them, as the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of I remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is confusing. Okay. Our second reading comes from 1 Peter. That I have a better shot of reading. Starting at chapter 4, verse 4. With respect to this, With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Gospel reading comes out of John, starting in chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember what I told them about you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you.
To invite kids to come down.
Good morning. It's all right. We love them. I need a volunteer. Thank you. I need two volunteers. Another volunteer. Thank you. Is your hand, is it crippled? I can do it. Come on. Up, 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 up front, right here. Up front. All right. I'm going to teach you about something you can't see today, but you can see it in a different way. And these guys are going to teach you. I'm going to move you a little farther away. Good, right there. All right. Close your eyes. You guys, close your eyes. Open your eyes. You didn't see that, but you felt it. That's important. Now, I want to teach you something about wind, but I really want to teach you about the Holy Spirit, okay? Because God calls the Holy Spirit the wind, the breath of God, which means sometimes you can't see him, but you can feel him. Now, I want to show you something about wind. Tell me when, close your eyes. Tell me when you feel the wind. Close your eyes. You feel the wind yet? Feel the wind? Raise your hand then. Do you feel the wind? Keep your hand up. There you go. Put them down. Now, that was easy, right? Let me show you something else. Close your eyes. Tell me where the wind's coming from. Close your eyes.
Above me.
What?
Above me.
Louder.
Above me.
Good. Tell me where it's coming from.
From the side.
Which side?
My left side.
Oh, well, that was hard. All right. Ready? Close your eyes. Keep your eyes closed. Where's it coming from?
My chest.
Where?
My chest.
Okay. Where's it coming from?
Above.
Okay. Now, close your eyes. I want you to imagine that you're walking. And when I wave the fan right in front of your face, you walk forward. When I wave it on the one side or the other, you move to the left or right. You ready? That means walk forward. It's all right. We won't kill you or anything. Keep walking. Come on. Close your eyes. Hey, which way is it blowing from? Walk in that direction. Turn and face it. Good. Keep going. You ready? Your turn. Ready? I'll close them tighter. Keep them closed. Where you're supposed to be moving. Where's the wind coming from? Good. Follow it again. Now walk forward. Good. Now, what I was trying to show with this little thing, come on over. Good job, both of you. It's not easy, is it? When I go sailing, I always test the wind by where the wind blows on my face. And it works a little better if I have whiskers, because then the whiskers kind of fluctuate a little bit with the wind, because then I can tell which way the wind's blowing, so I know which way to put the sail and several things like that. What I want you to learn is that God wants to give each of you the Holy Spirit, okay? And what he wants you to do is learn how to feel the presence of the Spirit and then move when the Spirit says move. So if I wave it in front of him, he was supposed to walk here. But if I turn it to the side, he was supposed to walk there. Sometimes I got it from the back and he's got to turn around and go back where he was. The Spirit wants to lead you, and it's very important that you understand. See, the one thing is you couldn't what? What couldn't you do? Say it louder.
I couldn't see.
You couldn't see, right? Because I made you close your eyes. Can you see what's going to happen to you next? Because I'm not giving you guys any candy. So what? No candy. See, I know that's going to happen. You didn't. Right? So if they would have followed a little better, maybe I would have given you some, but I'm not giving you any today. No candy for you. All right? But when the Holy Spirit leads you, you notice how close I was to you? And you saw me when I begin to wave at them or move the fan, and they could feel it. And at first it's hard because, like you said, I can't
see.
And that's difficult because who do you have to trust? The Holy Spirit, I know you're laughing because you were going to say me. I understand that. But you understand, today we're going to learn about the Holy Spirit. Here's what's the neat thing. God has given each of you His Holy Spirit. And you know what? I can't see what's coming next either. But I have learned that when I feel the Holy Spirit moving me in a direction, and He only moves you in a direction that you would find in the Bible, He always is telling you and taking you to places that He wants you to be. So if there would have been a big hole there, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have been fanning her face so she fell in the... He would have putting it on the side so she would walk around the hole, okay? So that's what I want you to understand about the Holy Spirit. You can't always see Him, but you can know His presence, and that's what I want you to learn, because today we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you. Now, I told you you weren't going to get any. Actually, I said I'm not giving you any, right? I will keep that promise. But there is another treat, and somebody far nicer than I has got something for you all. So here we go. Go ahead, sit back down. Go ahead, you can. She's got a box, get out of her way. Over the top, grab one. Ladies first, gentlemen. 5, 4, 3. Don't thank me. Thank you. Yes, you're welcome. Thank you, you're welcome. So how do you illustrate the Holy Spirit? The wind of God. Have you ever been jealous of somebody else's ability, talent, or faith? I know it in talent. Like I used to play basketball, and this other guy could out-dribble me, out-stuff the ball, out everything. And, you know, you get kind of humbled by that and jealous of it. That I understand. Have you ever been jealous of seeing somebody else's relationship with God and yours feels like... That's French for... You know, you just kind of go, how come... They know what the Spirit wants them to do, but I sit there and go, which way is the wind blowing? And that, I think, is a real dilemma, because God has this desire to give you the Holy Spirit. We're coming up on Pentecost. Pentecost is a day the disciples didn't comprehend when we're reading this text in John. They didn't really understand it. Here it was, Jesus said, I will send my Spirit. I will give you the Comforter. I will give you the Counselor. I will give you the guy that sends you in the right direction. I will take you to the left or the right if you follow the place I'm calling you to. I will help you walk around the potholes and the places you can drop your life off in, even though in your mind you think it's perfectly safe to walk. I will take you to places you never thought you could go and help you accomplish things you never thought you could accomplish. But the kids could not use their eyes. They had to find a different way of the Spirit communicating with them in my little illustration, the wind that I was throwing at their face. And then they had to process it and say, is that in front of me? Is it from my right or is it from my left? And then they had to have courageous enough to follow it, believing I would take them to a good spot. That becomes the difficulty when it asks the question, are you filled with the presence and of the Holy Spirit? Are you letting God lead you? Are you functioning with that kind of one eye open or the little squinty thing we can all do pretending we're really, oh yeah, I felt the wind in that direction, oh yeah, it's over. And you go, no, you're not. You're just walking your own path with your own squinty eyes. And you think, I've got the Spirit. And I go, it isn't that God doesn't want to give you the Spirit. It's that you're full of your own spirit. You're full of your own squinty eyes and your own confidence in the path you choose. And you're walking down this path and no one and nothing is going to get you to turn from it because you're following your squinty eyes and you think you see clearly the way it's supposed to go. And God must want me to go this way, even though from the side the Spirit is whipping the fan going to the right, and you just keep walking your path. And then you get mad at God because he didn't send his spirit to direct you. And so here we are in a situation. Jesus is getting ready. Obviously, this is from the upper room, if you recognize the context of the text that I picked for today. The context is getting them ready for Pentecost. It's getting them prepared for operating at a life very differently than they live right now. We don't walk by, we walk by faith. And the faith that's required is no small task. It's exactly what Ellie shared. That whole emotion of the different fear of emotion and different things that they go through, is each one of them kind of expressed that. And you begin to realize, here is Jesus going, I am going to send you the counselor, the paraclete, the advocate, the come alongside person, a wingman. I'm going to give you someone and something that can take you through places where you can't see a thing, and you'll walk safely through the minefield. You'll walk safely from this situation or to the right situation if you learn how to sense and demonstrate obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So this is no small thing. And he repeats this multiple times. This is not the only place it's repeated in different sections of the Bible. We can read it again, where I will come to you and I will send the Spirit to you, and he will open your eyes and he will show you what you haven't been able to see yet, and all kinds of other things. Because if you keep only seeing with your eyes, you will never know where the Spirit wants to lead you. I could have played the game out with blindfolds and said, all right, keep following. If you don't follow me, you're never going to get to the treasure, if I want to use the candy as an illusion of the treasure. The difficulty is, I think I know where it is. I could have had her stand over there or something else, or even walked her out the door, and I would have seen if the kids would have had the faith enough to follow where I lead. That's the challenge, isn't it? That's the question, and we start talking about Pentecost. Are you familiar enough with the breeze of the Spirit to be obedient when the Spirit moves you or calls you? Have you met people like that? Have you seen their faith and the fruit of their faith demonstrated, maybe even in your own life? I've seen people say things to me in the power of the Spirit, and I go, oh, brother, what an idiot. How stupid can you be? But I never said it out loud. I was ashamed I thought it, but not till afterward, because the very thing they said to me, God is going to do this and this and this, came exactly true. I've had people walk up, take me by the hand, and begin prophesying over me, telling me things that were true in my life, things that God was speaking to my heart already. And I go, how come he could do that? How come he wasn't afraid? How come he was willing to walk up to someone he's never met and take him by the hand and reach out a hand and say, would you mind if I prophesy over you? And I said, no, go ahead. And he began to do that. And I began to listen to what the Spirit of God was putting in front of my face. And I began to ask, how come he or she can and I can't? Well, part of the answer, part of the dilemma, is that we don't take our crown off. All those songs that Mark picked, we fall down and we lay our crown, the foot of Jesus. The crown is me, myself, and I. The crown is my way. The crown is Bruce in control of his own life. The crown is Bruce's goals being fulfilled. The crown is not necessarily what Jesus has in store, unless I trust that the crown Jesus is going to give me is going to be far greater than the crown that I keep putting on my own head, refusing to take off and lay down before the throne. I began to understand that's what the elders had to do, even in Revelation. They were taking off everything that they gloried in, everything that put them or separated them, that made them special. And they laid it right down and they fell on their faces before God. And that relationship was what was so empowering and so revealing about heaven. It's the relationship that God is inviting you to, not to hurt you, but to take you down a path that you could not find unless you followed the breeze of the Spirit for the treasure that God has always intended for you, which is far nicer, you guys don't get to see inside, than what I normally give them. And so you begin to understand the process that God has us in. He's talking to his disciples. What's his point? The counselor comes that I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The Holy Spirit always moves you toward God, toward the Word, toward faithfulness, toward being the kind of man or woman you're supposed to be in accordance with the will of God. The Holy Spirit will not feed your flesh. That's why I don't like him. That's why I fill myself up with plenty of Bruce so I can always roll back into the flesh whenever the Spirit leaves me alone. And then I justify it and I rationalize it and ask the question, how come they got more Spirit than I got? And then he goes, where's their crown, Bruce? And you look at it at the feet of Jesus. It doesn't mean you don't deserve that. It doesn't mean you're not going to get the benefit of your crown. It doesn't even mean that God's not going to answer those things that you think you must have or need or want. It means that God's not going to answer it quite the way you think, quite the timing you think it has to be. And so in this section, he goes on from there and he says, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have seen me and have been with me from the beginning. So here he is to his disciples. It's his own moment of fanning them. I'm going to give you the wind of God that will lead you in all things, that will cause you to testify about me in everything you say and do. And he too, that wind of God, will testify about me, and you will find your mind filled with the presence of Jesus Christ and the wisdom of God. He goes on with his next point in that verse. Says this, all this I have told you so that you will not go astray. All this I've told you, the real Greek word is to, so you won't be scandalized. So you won't have a desire to sin. That's the problem with the Spirit of God. He doesn't want to lead me where I want to go if I want to sin. I remember it from seconds ago, moments ago, hours ago, days ago, years ago. I want to go hang out with that girl. God goes, over here, Bruce, over here. God, you have different tastes than I do. So God sends a bigger wind. Mom. God, what does Mom know? So finally, he lets the consequences fall. And in those consequences, he says, as you wish. You can fall in the hole if you want. You are free. You don't have to follow my breeze, my leadership, the wind of my Spirit. You can walk your own path and pay the price that goes along with that. You won't know it's the hole there until it's too late for you to do something about it. Then you'll look back and maybe if you're not bitter, angry, and frustrated and hateful of God, you will understand you brought it on yourself because the Spirit said go right and you wanted to go straight ahead and drop into the hole that you could not see because you can't see it all. You can't see where that friendship is going to lead. You can't see where that relationship is going to go. You can't see how compromised you are. You think you're doing fine because you've got a squinty-eyed Christianity going and I kind of see something in front of me, but down I go into the hole because I have not been following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wants to give himself to you. He wants to breathe on you. He wants to do this for the disciples. And Christ goes on from that point and he says this. It says, I've told you that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogues. The word is excommunicated there. It says excommunicate from a synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. The world doesn't know the Father. They don't get you at all. They don't understand why you would put money in an offering plate. They don't understand why you'd love and forgive an unforgivable and unlovable child. They don't understand why you show mercy when you should be angry. Or maybe you don't show mercy. And that they do understand. And then they don't understand why you call yourself a Christian. And so you begin to understand the Holy Spirit's got more going on in a single moment than this particular children's sermon or this service. He is preparing you for what you're going to go home to the issues you're going to face, to the questions you're going to be dealing with. Do I do it God's way or do I do it the squinty-eyed Bruce way and then complain because I keep falling into the holes? Am I going to do what the Spirit leads me to do or am I going to follow what I want to follow? And so that's the process the disciples are being asked as they go through this thing. And Jesus goes on and says this, they're going to hate you. They're not going to get along with you all the time. Your own children will hate you for loving Jesus. Your own children will hate you because you gave them God's counsel, even if your mom or dad or sister or brother or pastor, you opened your mouth and you sounded like Jesus, and I don't want Jesus in my life. Don't breathe on me. Get away from me. I'm not following the leading of the Spirit. And then we wonder why our walk with God is as fragile and delicate and hurt as it really is. And we begin to understand other people walk with a degree of faithfulness to that breeze and a degree of accuracy and precision that makes us look pretty foolish, stomping our way through life, proving myself the fool as I drop down into the hole that I can't really see until it's too late. And yet in the middle of this, here's the miracle. He finishes this off. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. And it says, I'm sorry, I lost my spot. They do such things. Well, I have not the right spot. Take it back. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. I wanted you to remember, Bruce, if you're in the hole, guess what you haven't been following? The wind of the Spirit. Guess what you have been following? My own wind. You know what your wind is? Rationalization. Justification. You don't know how hard it is for an old guy down here, Lord. You don't know how hard it is for being alone. You don't know how hard it is. You just don't understand me at all. You don't know what my needs are. You don't recognize how a young guy feels. You don't recognize how this girl feels. You don't know nothing. And that's the wind. And pretty soon I got so much wind going around me that I've generated. Or you get those friends. Hey, you're going to let your mom tell you what to do? I don't understand. I can't feel the wind of the Spirit. Sure you can. Open the Bible. I guarantee you'll get a blast. It'll take your hair right off. It's working on mine right now. And you begin to go, is that really what? Yeah, it's what we're doing. And then we go, let's get ready for Pentecost and let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. And the answer is, why? What are you going to do with it when he does? It isn't that he won't. It isn't that he doesn't want to. It isn't that he's angry or frustrated in one sense with you. He just watches you falling into hole after hole after hole, creating your own wind, bringing your own friends and acquaintances around you, watching the stuff that fits your pattern of life and justifies the way you think, rather than opening up the Word of God and going, repent. A new path. Change your mind about the way you're living. And you begin to understand that gentle breeze on the side of my face begins walking me to a place where there's a treasure beyond my comprehension, where I receive more than I certainly ever deserve. Jesus wanted his disciples to survive, not just life, but survive spiritually. It's not easy to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not easy to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. It's far easier not to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. It's far easier to walk your own path until you drop into that hole and are clawing your way back out, hoping you can make it out of another stupid thing you've added to your life and brought into your circumstances, and you didn't realize how bad it was going to get. And so the Holy Spirit goes, tell your people, I want to fill them up. Tell your people, I want a Pentecost for you. Tell your people that don't close your heart to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Tell your people to get into the Word more so they can recognize the breeze of the Holy Spirit, because you start reading the Word and suddenly you're going to feel right from the book that breeze that begins pushing on you, and you begin to recognize God's Spirit is trying to lead you, to move you, to give you conquering ability over fear or death or all the other things that we go through, to give you wisdom in the middle of the complex questions of your life. God's Holy Spirit is longing to minister to you. Jesus Christ loves you. The Father loves you. Guess what? So does the Holy Spirit. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly how much wind you need. And he knows how difficult it is for you to trust him. And still he comes pursuing you, investing himself in you, drawing you closer to him, whispering, shouting, speaking to you through a mom, a dad, a friend, acquaintance, a pastor, a sermon, or something, or his word, trying to get you to recognize what's going on. As you prepare for Pentecost that's coming up next week, I want you to just keep preparing. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, show me where I'm walking in a bad place. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, open my mind up to receive all that you have for me. Cause me, Lord, to read your word. Cause me, Lord, to really trust. Cause me, Lord, to feel that breeze on the side of my face so I know whether to turn right, turn left, or go straight. And in the middle of it, Lord, teach me what it really means to not only be filled with the Holy Spirit, but to walk with the Holy Spirit and know that whole relationship. God has got more planned for you and I than we can possibly ask or imagine. He's got us walking down a path with a treasure obviously far more significant than a fine piece of candy. Instead, he wants you filled with his presence so that you can be used to bless the people in your life. Pray with me. I thank you, Lord, that you don't quit, no matter how stubborn I am, and you don't leave me in the holes that I've fallen. Somehow, Lord, I don't cry out to you like I should until I find myself in that hole looking out, screaming, who will save me? And somehow, Lord, in your mercy, you still come back. I ask, Lord, that in your mercy, grace, and love, that you would send your Holy Spirit into people's lives. First, to open up their minds and hearts. Then to understand, in order to feel the breath of the Spirit, they have to walk away from the wind of the people around them and the lies and deceptions that they spew out of their own mouth. Teach us silence, Lord. Then teach us that gentle thing that can feel even the tenderest breeze on the side of our face to know which way to steer our life. So come and bless us in that way, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. God's people say, amen.